everyone. I'm Shane Anderson, Executive Vice President and Chief Operating Officer at NAOP, and today's guest host. You're listening to the NAOP podcast, Inside CRE, featuring interviews with commercial real estate leaders who share industry and career insights. NAOP, the Commercial Real Estate Development Association, is the development industry's leading source for education, advocacy, and connections that drive your business forward. Today, I am so pleased to be speaking with Rafael McCadden, Industrial and Logistics Director for Colliers International based in Mexico City. Thank you so much for being with us, Rafael.
Shane, thank you so much. It's an honor for me to be able to be with you today and give some of the ideas of what's going on with the industrial market, specifically nearshoring.
Thank you, Rafael. Rafael joined Colliers International in 2005 after more than 8 years as executive director of the Mexican Association of Industrial Parks, OMPIP, a real estate development organization that NAOP has had a partnership with for almost two decades. Rafael, let's jump right into some questions to learn a little bit more about you and what you see ahead for 2024 in the Mexico industrial market. So let's first start kind of at a high level. According to a market overview published by NAOP in mid-2023, Mexico has seen year-over-year decreases in vacancy, along with increases in rental rates and continued positive absorption. Are those conditions that you are still seeing? And just kind of paint a picture for us of the industrial market in Mexico right now.
Yes. Well, you know, the industrial market in Mexico has been basically following the same trends that the U.S. market in absorption, vacancy, lease rates, whatever. I would say starting last year, the U.S. industrial market started slowing down and not the Mexican industrial market. So for I would say maybe for the first time since I've been in this industry, we see that the trends are different. Vacancy rates continue to drop to historically low levels in most of the markets, and lease rates and industrial land just keeps rising. But it's unbelievable. You know, lease rates, for example, have increased over 30%, 20-something to 30% in the past 18 months. So that's huge.
Wow. Yes, it is. So is it fair to say that you really haven't seen this type of environment in all of the years that you've been in the industrial market or commercial real estate?
Never. And it was basically detonated by COVID, but behind COVID, it was really the supply chain disruption. That's what's really detonating this. You know, people say, is nearshoring a short-term trend? We don't see it that way. We feel, you know, because of the global supply chain issues that have been happening everywhere, like right now, the Red Sea and the Panama Canal running out of water, more and more nearshoring, or, you know, what Mexico can offer the U.S. is it's going to last for many years.
Yeah, so that brings up a really good point. Expand a little bit about why Mexico has been such a hotbed for development. What factors have given rise to that? Obviously, COVID-19 spurred the supply chain issues that you just mentioned, but what makes Mexico just such a hotbed right now?
I would say the baby boomer generation in Mexico, it's in its late 20s, for one thing. So that's huge. Mexico, the way I say this, even though Mexico has pyramids, okay, it's a young country in that sense, demographically speaking. So that's huge. The other thing is there's a rule of thumb in which people don't even believe it, that whatever is paid in the manufacturing per hour in the U.S., it's per day in Mexico.
Wow.
So that's 8 times less. And a Mexican workforce is eager to start working. Education level is not where it should be, but companies are investing a lot of money to be able to train, you know, the workers. So that's also something that Besides that, of course, the 2,000-mile border with Mexico, and there's over 50 border crossings between U.S. and Mexico, and there's more that are being built right now, for example, in Tijuana. And there's one that was built in Reynosa not too long ago, which now has commercial trucks going back and forth. So,
yeah, so that's absolutely. That's a huge factor. So you mentioned this, the workforce. That obviously has been a big topic of conversation recently. Talk to us a little more about what is being done to educate the workforce there and get them ready for the growth that is being seen.
Sure. Actually, you see, for one thing, you know, English. The workforce really needs to learn English. So there's a lot of training programs for that. Also, technical schools. So people don't go through college. They go through these technical schools starting high school and even afterwards. So the Mexican government has put a lot of interest on that. There's a lot of integration between the government educational system and the actual companies into generating the right programs. You know, so they don't go to school for something that's not going to be useful for them to get a job.
Yes, sure. Well, that's good to hear that there's integration there and collaboration. So talk to me a little bit about the geography of Mexico and what areas are you actually seeing the most growth in?
Yes, sure. Actually, there's a map that I've been putting together for over 23 years talking exactly about where the industries are located and the different sectors. You know, there's many industries, especially automotive, which is the largest industry in Mexico, is in central Mexico and towards the northeast of Mexico. That's the main automotive cluster. But there's also aerospace, for example, which is basically based in four cities. It's Tijuana, Mexicali, Chihuahua, and Querétaro. So this map basically shows where the different sectors are located in Mexico. Historically, Mexico's industry is not established in the ports, in the port cities. So that's very different in Mexico than in other places in the world, I would say. So that's interesting to know, because basically, the industrial development of Mexico initiated in central Mexico, not in the port cities.
I see. Yeah, absolutely. That is definitely different than what we have seen before in other markets. So I want to kind of pause and be sure we also spend a little bit of time discussing the challenges that the industrial market has in Mexico. Power is consistently mentioned as kind of the number one challenge. So talk to us a little bit about why that is such a challenge and how is it being addressed?
Yes. Well, the thing here is that the federal government is not spending or investing, I'd rather say, enough money into the grid. So they haven't been doing it for years now. So now we're suffering that lack of investment. So private companies started investing into the power grid, but unfortunately, the current administration, federal administration, basically blocked those private investments. So that made things worse. So right now, we're going through, I would say, the most difficult situation regarding power. Some of the industrial parks that had power reserves are the ones that are being tremendously successful. But some of them are not. And actually, there's industrial buildings that are standing and already built and that can't get power. So that's not helping.
That's absolutely a challenge, I would imagine. So water has also been cited as another big challenge, especially in certain regions. How does that impact the market and investment decisions for developers?
Water is critical, as you're saying, in certain cities. It's not as critical in other regions in Mexico. So now we are being a lot more careful with water administration. Some companies are willing to process industrial water. There's being solutions, but as you know, the climate change worldwide is affecting this, and Mexico is not an exception. You know, like right. Panama, they're not getting enough rain. Now right. They're having issues with being able to get the ships from one side to the other. So yes, that is an issue that it's a worldwide, and there's many companies that are now very interested in helping preserve water and process water. So that, you know, it is a concern, but it's not as bad as power.
Yeah, absolutely. So one more challenge that has been cited in the articles, at least that I have read, is infrastructure. So it's, you know, been widely cited that Mexico has some significant challenges with infrastructure. Can you talk about some of the measures that are being taken to address those challenges?
Sure. Well, first responsible for infrastructure is the government, to put the roads, to put the border crossings. And the priority of the current administration has been put on infrastructure that is not related to industrial. So that's what we're also concerned about. So some of the highways, some of the border crossings that are much needed are not getting the correct amount of investment. So there is going to be election. This is an election year, like in the U.S.
Yep.
And so we are very optimistic that things are going to change with the new administration.
Okay. Well, that's great to hear. So let's kind of shift gears a little bit and talk about the fact that, you know, we have read in the next 5 years, Mexico is expected to attract $35 billion in foreign investment. So that's really exciting. You were talking to a group of U.S.-based investors and developers. What advice would you give to them as far as the biggest opportunities in Mexico and how to break into that market? Or if they are there in the market, how to mm-hmm. capitalize on the opportunities there?
Well, 5 years that you're saying, I think it's going to go above 10 years. Nearshoring is a long-term trend, like a tsunami, I call it, that hit Mexico and caught us off guard. That's one of the reasons why these rates have been climbing, because, you know, buildings availability has dropped tremendously. So regarding potential developers, I've been on recent NAIOP events that I've been to, you know, like Icon West in Long Beach. And I was also at a NAIOP cold chain conference in Atlanta last year.
Yes, Icon Cold Storage. Yep.
Yeah. So all of a sudden now, you as developers are definitely interested. And not only that, also contractors are trying to move into the Mexican market because they see a huge opportunity, especially because the industrial market in the U.S. slowed down, right? So yes, we've been talking to a lot of these developers. It's not easy to start operations in a new country, so it hasn't happened as fast as maybe they wish. But I definitely see a lot of that happening in the next 5 years.
Very interesting. So another statistic that we pulled was that 85% of the products assembled or manufactured in Mexico cross the border into the U.S., thanks in part to the U.S.-Canada-Mexico trade agreement and, of course, as you mentioned, nearshoring. So this puts Mexico just behind Canada in terms of trade volume with the U.S. So talk to us a little bit about what are some of the strategies that you're seeing for US-based companies that are building and investing in the Mexico market? So they're already there. What strategies are they using to, again, capitalize on the current climate in Mexico?
They are definitely expanding operations in Mexico in different cities. One of the cities that has been I would say the most successful on this new trend is Monterrey, which there's many reasons for that. One, of course, is the proximity to the Laredo border in Texas, and that historically, Monterrey has been the most industrialized city in Mexico. But now there's it's been so successful that now other cities, you know, close by to Monterrey, like, for example, Torreón, are experiencing, finally experiencing growth. So part of our job is to help companies identify long-term ideal solutions for them in you know, expanding their operations in Mexico.
Interesting. Talk to me a little bit about submarkets there. I mean, you mentioned automotive. Talk to me a little bit about what you're seeing as far as the submarkets that are investing there.
Sure. Well, as I mentioned, automotive is number one. And now with EV, there's a huge conversion that's going on in Mexico with batteries and all the new suppliers for EVs. That's huge. That happened long time ago, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago, or when the flat screens with TVs, right? When we changed to flat screens, Mexico was back then actually three cities. That was Tijuana, Mexicali, and Ciudad Juarez were the number one supplier of TVs to the U.S., and they had to reconvert to flat screens. So they did that, and they now they are again number one supplier of flat screens to the U.S. So we think the same thing is going to happen with automotive. But especially in the border cities, there's a lot of medical devices companies and surgery kits, for example. I would say that is also going to grow tremendously in the next few years. Baby boomers turning to the 70s, right? Needing more medical care. So that is also important. Aerospace, as I mentioned earlier, this was something that government, the federal government and the state governments really wanted to attract aerospace into Mexico. And it was a very successful campaign and incentives that they put up for companies. And aerospace 20 years ago was non-existent in Mexico. And now Mexico is one of the one of the first five suppliers of aerospace components into the U.S. I would say also refrigerators, everything that's household equipment household, kitchen, everything that has to go into a kitchen.
Yeah.
It's being right now assembled in Mexico.
Wow. Very interesting. So you mentioned Icon West, and thank you for being a speaker there last spring.
One thing
that you mentioned in your panel was, and that I found really interesting, was the size comparison of the Mexican industrial market. It's about equivalent to the Dallas, Texas market or Inland Empire. So as you reflect on, all of your years in this industry, how has that market evolved over time when you think back to when you first started in this industry?
The export-oriented manufacturing in Mexico initiated in the late 60s in the border cities with the Maquiladora program, right? Like RCA Television, now that I talked about TVs, they started a plant back then in Juarez. And so most of the Mexican exports back then were petroleum-related products. So Mexico has been going through this conversion into exporting all sorts of products into the U.S. As you said, over 85% of our exports go into the U.S. And so this growth of the market, even though we're small compared to the U.S., it's growing fast, and it will continue to grow very fast. As you said, Inland Empire, Dallas, or even Chicagoland, Mexico, I would say in 10 years, will definitely be the growth rate of the you know, you can talk about construction. It's over 20% per year now.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's really catching up. It's really, I don't think that there's other countries in the world that maybe Vietnam that are growing at that same pace.
Yeah, absolutely. That's incredible. So you mentioned EV manufacturing. Can you talk a little bit more about the EV manufacturing that's being done in Mexico and what mm-hmm. you think that will look like in 2, 5, 10 years?
Sure. Well, we actually did a project in San Luis Potosí for a company that they're going to start assembling EV motors in Mexico. So that's like the first EV motor assembly plant in Mexico that would start operations towards the end of this year. So this conversion is, I would say, it's huge. Mexico's automotive industry is, I would say, taking the right steps
sure.
into converting the industry into EV. You know, by 2035, you know, there's commitments, clear commitments of the OEMs that they're not going to continue assembling internal combustion cars.
Yeah.
So 2035 is around the corner, you know.
Yeah. As we kind of wrap up, I have just a couple of closing questions. So are there any resources that you would recommend for our listeners who may want to learn more about the industrial CRE market?
Of course, yes. There's so much information out there. You just, you know, you just Google it and you'll get a ton of information. you know, that's, I would say, the simplest way to do it. But if you want to be more serious about this, you definitely should reach out to companies like Colliers and, you know, similar to us and get a better perspective on what's happening with the different markets, where are the areas where power is not as critical, or water, even workforce. You know, Mexico definitely has a huge workforce that is eager to work in manufacturing jobs, but there's a lot of migration even within Mexico to be able to be, you know, people are moving their families to places in Mexico where they can get a job.
Mm-hmm. Right? Sure.
So that's also, so yes, I would say reach out to the professionals that have been in this for years and they have the right experience. And you know, companies do soft landings in Mexico for 27 years. So that's the kind of people that you want to reach out to.
Yeah, absolutely. So before we close, is there anything else you would like to talk about? Anything else we missed that you think is important to share with, you know, our audience, you know, the NAOP audience very well. So anything else you'd like to share?
Yes, I think it would be interesting to say that now we call it nearshoring, but the truth is that it has a new name, but manufacturing between the U.S. and Mexico, you know, in the late 60s, it was called Twin Plant, Maquiladora. So the name has changed, but basically the integration between the two countries just continues to be more and more solid and keep growing. So I would say that with this new supply chain disruption challenges that the world is facing, that I initially talked about, the Red Sea and Panama Canal and all of that, I don't see anything more than the tremendous growth that will continue to happen and the integration of manufacturing between the U.S. and Mexico.
Well, that is a great closing. So I just want to thank you so much, Rafael, for your time today. I really enjoyed our conversation, and I know our listeners will value your insights. So thank you so much.
Thanks to you, Shane. Thanks for the invite.
Of course.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to Inside CRE with your guest host, Shane Anderson. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help support the podcast, please share it with others and be sure to subscribe. Before I close, I want to invite our listeners to register for our upcoming event, Icon West, the Industrial CRE Conference taking place March 11th and 12th in Long Beach, California. Please visit naop.org for more details.